down to the bank, she was sobbing her heart out there, you know. She loved everything, you know. It was whatever, right to her house, and just enjoyed everything.
I thank the Lord, I got patience. Poor old Jason, he don't have much patience. Okay, Roger, you want to say a prayer?
Yes, thank you, Lord God, for the moment you give us. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We have a place to come and worship and bless your precious holy name and to lift your name up and to always acknowledge you, Lord God, as our Lord and Savior. We believe in you. We trust in you, Heavenly Father. And ask the Heavenly Father to open our eyes and ears up to your word and to allow us to receive the understanding we need, Lord God, so we can continue to live and to bless and worship your precious name. We claim it all in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
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 This lesson was a good lesson, but I didn't know how to write what I wanted to write down very good, but I got a little bit. God hopes, for the exiles. Jeremiah, he sent a letter to the people in exile telling them of God's plans for them. Even though God had to pass judgment on them, he was still providing a way for them in the end. It wasn't going to be no quick escape, though. It lasted for 70 years. God promised a way out of this exile, but first, until that time came, the people were not to be bitter toward their captives, but to adapt and live normal lives and multiply. He told them to pray for peace for their captors. These Israelite people needed a lesson of spiritual discipline, of endurance and acceptance. They needed to learn obedience to God again. They needed to remain faithful in where God put them at this moment in time. And we, too, are in exile today. We are in spiritual exile while awaiting heaven, and we have the same stipulations as Jeremiah gave these people. We're to adapt and live normal lives, multiply, live peaceably with others, and pray for everyone. We have already experienced salvation and are working our way towards spiritual maturity, so we are exiles in a not yet finished part of God's plan. We are to live and serve in obedience while living in obedience to what is coming. We are not where we are just by chance. We are where we are because God put us here to serve a purpose. Even though we disagree lots of times and go our own way, he has to turn us around through our consequences of disobedience most of the time and set us back in the right direction. Okay, over in Deuteronomy 28, God told the people long ago the promises and then the judgments that would come upon them depending on if they were obedient to him or disobedient. So these people already knew all this. So now verses 1 through 3 in Jeremiah. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah, the king and queen, and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. By the hand of Elasa, the son of, I have no idea, Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now that they're in captivity in the land, Jeremiah is sending a written letter. Its contents, though, are directly from God. He's sending it straight to Nebuchadnezzar. God exiled the people from Jerusalem to Babylon. And that's in Iraq, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it was. But he did not leave them. He was still in control. God's using Babylon to accomplish his purpose exile from his will for them right now, but he is not done with them. He was still the God of Israel, and he was still going to bring them back to their land, but most importantly, he was bringing them back to him.
One thing you have to realize here is God, he said, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused. God's the one that... So when you read this first part, it starts out, these are the words of the letter to Jeremiah. Of course, that those words came from God. Mm-hmm. But what God wanted them to know is, you're in the place that you are because that's where I want you.
Yeah, that was his plan.
That's where I put you. So, and it's the same way in our life. Nothing is by accident. Every circumstance, everything that happens, everything that takes place, God allows it, and there's a reason mm-hmm. that he allows it to happen or to take place. So the thing that he wants us to see is not spend so much time trying to figure out how we're going to get out of it, but spend all of our time, Lord, you know, why am I here and what you want me to do while I'm here?
Yeah.
And that's what he was trying to explain here through Jeremiah's letter. You know, I'm sure they were in distress because of where they were.
Yeah.
But God wanted them to understand why they were there.
Yeah.
And then what he would do to bring them back, but then they have to listen. You got to wonder, because all these, you know, I know the tragedy at Weston and Buchanan and the storms around, and they're not the only place. Texas, a lot of states got just as bad. And if you go back and read in the Old Testament, every time there was something like this, we're talking about in our lesson today, the whole thing was to bring people to repentance. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of people gathering together and talking about, you know, God's grace and mercy, and he's going to help us through it, and he's going to get us, but nobody's talking about repentance. Mm-hmm. And that's always the point, mm-hmm. is everything leads to repentance or salvation. But nobody's going to want to talk about that because it's a tragedy, and well, we don't want to dump more on them. Mm-hmm. We don't want to hurt their feelings more by telling them, but that's what it's all about, is God's trying to get people to turn back to him.
And if we would have the old time...
He's got his eyes on his children.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And he keeps his promises. Not our will, but God's will be done, but in his timing.
Mm-hmm. Sure. He told the Israelites, he said, I'm the one that has ownership here.
Yeah.
It's not you guys.
Yeah.
And it's the same way in our life. He's the one that has ownership, and the church today is just not, you know, I heard a lot of churches and pastors and stuff on there, you know, talking about the compassion of God and the grace of God, and I never heard one of them say that out of this needs to come repentance or salvation.
But you know, preachers, when we was little, they would have preached it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you would have heard it. Mm-hmm. You would have heard it from the old time preachers.
Yeah, that's just how times has changed.
Wolves could speak, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
But today we're too worried about people's feelings, their emotional feelings, mm-hmm. and your worldly emotional feelings aren't going to get you to heaven.
No.
I mean, you're supposed to be compassionate, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to help people all you can, but you're also supposed to say that this is why this is happening. And in the Old Testament, it was really plain. Mm-hmm. When something happened, they said, this is why it's happening.
That's right, yeah.
And God wants you to repent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, in the New Testament, it's spoken a little bit different, but it's still spoken in the same manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's more like, now it's more like pointing us towards Christ coming.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I was telling my brother, he cannot get me to heaven. I cannot get him to heaven. It's all one-on-one with God. Mm-hmm. It's up to us.
It's your choice.
We want to take and, you know, submit ourselves and believe mm-hmm. and trust in God, or we just take for granted.
Yeah.
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 So, you know, churches this morning in the area should be talking about God's compassion leading to salvation, but
yeah,
you don't hear it.
One this morning, I'm sorry, but I got to say this because it really broke my heart. You know, there was a lot of churches that was taken out and flooded out, but there was one church that, I mean, they got lots of donations, cleaning soot, you know, volunteers and everything. And then that's exactly what they should be doing. You know, praising God, thanking, bringing people to church. They want to get their church up and back up to bring everybody back in. But then on the other hand, they'll say, oh, yeah, we need help. This is today. This wasn't 4 days ago they said this. Today, now they're saying, yeah, we need your help, but we just want your money.
That's just it, yeah, because yeah. Years ago they would have thrown up a barn or a tent, anything.
Yeah, you got to tell people why it's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
But nobody wants to tell people why it's going on for fear that they're going to pick people. That's just like we talked about this, not this Thursday night in Bible study, since we didn't have it, but last Thursday night, mm-hmm. about all these ministries now that won't mention salvation in their church because they're afraid of offending people. They're afraid of saying, if you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. They don't want to offend nobody. Well, what do you got them in church for
that or
if you're not going to tell them about salvation?
Or they won't mention it because they're afraid they won't get that offering.
That's where, I mean, we're getting it all set back up. You all come back in, you know, we're getting it done up for you.
Bring your money.
We're seeing it at the door waiting on your money.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
Just like I told that preacher up yonder, I says, we both agreed on that there. The church is the people. And if you want to have Sunday school, whatever else, you can have it right out here on this grounds right out here. You don't need to be in that church. If you want to take and be serious about it, you can have church right here.
I know, and if I was the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't even want to go in either.
I suppose there's times he laughs a little bit and walks on.
The prophets in the old, that's why a lot of times when you read these letters that Jeremiah and all these prophets wrote, they didn't want to because of what God wanted them to say,
mm-hmm.
but God gave them the strength. But you know, if we had this in our life today, you would have a lot less preachers than you do now, because they didn't want to stand up in front of thousands of people and say, you're going through this because you need to repent and turn back to the Lord.
Well, Jeremiah even got arrested.
You ain't got none today that'll stand up and say that.
I had to back up and read a little bit more about Jeremiah. I mean, he told me, says, hey, you better be cautious about them false prophets out there.
Yeah, yeah. So, but it's all about salvation, and we've done left salvation out of the church.
It is true.
We want to make people feel good. And we want to tell them how good God is, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But you also got to tell them the rest
the
of it.
The other part, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You want a blessing, honor God.
Huh?
If you want a blessing, honor God.
And obey.
Obedience. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, 5-7. Build ye houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in peace thereof shall ye have peace. Jeremiah, he told them that it was God who was in complete control. He was the one who sent the people into exile. He worked through Nebuchadnezzar, but it was all God's plan to start with. This was the punishment, the discipline, and the teaching for their disobedience. God had sent Jeremiah to warn them about the judgment that would come if they didn't turn from their wicked ways, but God left that choice completely up to them if they wanted to do it or not. They had to have known. I mean, all the times that Israel disobeyed down through the years, this happened time, and it was just like a cycle. So they knew what was going to happen to them. But a lot of them just chose to disobey anyways.
But that praying to the Lord, right there is a very bold statement right there, because you know God said, "I'm here."
Mm-hmm.
I'm always here.
Yeah. And Jeremiah also told them that it wasn't going to be no short exile. It was going to be the 70 years. And so that's why God told them to settle down in Babylon, live like normal people, build homes, grow crops, marry. And they were also to pray for the peace of their captors. That way everybody could live in harmony. And that's over in Matthew 5:44, I think. Yeah, it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." This teaching was probably different from what they had always been taught to do with their enemies. So they probably had to learn the patience and understanding, too, for these people. And then the obedience to these commands, that they would not only grow in number, but they would grow greater in spirit. That's what God wanted. That was the main point. And this, it was also a great witness to their enemies when they grew in that spirit. Their enemies probably would say, you know, what's going on? I mean, they never seen.
I could just picture those people. Jeremiah says, you must love your neighbor. Not how can you see them start laughing at you? Are you crazy?
Yeah. This wouldn't be an easy route if they thought it was going to be, but it was going to be God's route that he wanted them to take, and that would accomplish what he wanted it to accomplish. It would be a difficult route, but it would be spiritually fulfilling in the end. And God will give us patience and strength to go through our trials too, because being exiled, we should realize that we are different from our captors. It should remind them that they are truly following God's plan. These people were not just a name, God's chosen people, Israel. These verses show us a blueprint, too, of how we are to live in a world that we are exiled to, because we're exiled in a fallen world awaiting for Christ's return. And we can use these verses as our guidelines, but we also have the Holy Spirit with us all the time leading and guiding us. While living in this world, we are not to stand around doing nothing. We are to do all these things that God spoke through Jeremiah, and we are to do them the same way through obedience to God, so that people will witness our salvation and they'll want it too. Verses 8 and 9. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord." Don't let these false teachers deceive you. If someone speaks truly from God, their actions will always reflect God's character. These false teachers brought about false hope, hope that would really bring about spiritual ruin. True hope is faith and believing. It's what motivates us to want more of Christ, to study, to pray, to obey, and to do what he has put us on this earth to do. True hope won't let you down. It will still be there through your ups and downs. True hope and faith comes from God. Faith looks at what God has done in the past, and hope looks forward to what God's promised for our future. Hope contains no doubt, only trust, trusting in God no matter the circumstances. Neither will even be needed in heaven. We won't have to trust an unseen God or watch for his coming, because we'll be there with him for all eternity. Now we need both, because we are living according to what is unseen. If we could see hope and faith, then we would have nothing to hope for. As long as we have faith and hope, then we are eagerly awaiting and looking for what God has in store for us now and through all eternity.
Yeah, see, Israel wasn't going to do anything when they went into captivity.
No.
Because he said, the Lord will get us out.
Yeah.
And God said, yeah, I'm going to get you out, but I'm going to leave you there for a while.
Yeah.
So go on with your lives.
Yeah.
And people do that today.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of get into a situation and figure, I'll just sit here and wait for God to get me out of it. And they don't go on with their... So he told them... you go on with your lives because it's still, like you said, it's still a witness to those around mm-hmm. you. So he brought them into captivity for more than one reason. One reason was he needed to get them to turn back to him. Yeah. But the other reason was where he took them, they needed
yeah.
to see the power of God too. So if he would have taken them there and they wouldn't have done anything, then where they were, those people would have never seen the power of God. Mm-mm. So it's a twofold, and it's the same way in our life. Every challenge or trial or tribulation that we go through, it's not just to help us to grow, but it's to let other people around us see the goodness of God.
And a lot of us, every time something happens to us, what do? We just sit there and start complaining, but then we turn our complaining around to begging God to get us out.
Right. And that's, so he didn't want Israel to do that. That's yeah. why he told them, go ahead and build houses, go ahead and raise families, go ahead and do, yes, I'm going to bring you out of captivity, but you know, some of them still haven't came out of captivity. That prophecy won't be complete till 1,000 years, but they have started coming back. But
that 70 years is the lifespan of a lot of people. So,
a lot of them didn't make it.
Yeah,
well,
a lot of them didn't
died.
Come out.
Yeah.
Because it was past their life. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. It was past their time.
Yeah.
So, but that shows us today, it doesn't matter what we're going through, we're still supposed to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Because it's not about us, it's about Him. And what he's doing, and we don't know everything that happens. We don't know every reason that he has for allowing it to happen.
Yeah, and we're supposed to serve him in obedience and lots of patience. And I mean, we can't go complaining and stuff, because that's not going to help the sinners at all. We're not showing a good example at all, even if we're our believers.
Right.
Yeah, like this man and Jim was talking the other day. Two words. Disobedient or obedient?
Yeah.
Okay. Hope is based on God's grace to do what he says he will do, all out of his love for us. And our faith and hope should be so strong that we should be willing to suffer and die for Christ. And these people probably wouldn't, and we probably wouldn't be either, mm-hmm. a lot of us, at all. Our hope in worldly people and things while on this earth is only temporary hope, because God is not of this world. God promised these people after 70 years he would restore their land to them. And in history, over in 2 Chronicles 36:21 is where it is. But this was just, God's timing is just so perfect, because this was just long enough that the promised land was able to observe all the Sabbaths that have been ignored all the years that they was in disobedience and all the wars and stuff were going on over there. And God remained in control the whole time, and it was his plan for his people to be put here at this time so all this could happen. And he assured the people that he wouldn't abandon them, but the people needed to put their full trust in him first, which is something they evidently hadn't done for a long time. So they was going to even have to learn that all over again. But the people, they would need to submit to God's discipline. Even though he allowed the people to be taken captive, he never intended it to be permanent or without hope for a future. He wanted to bring the people back to him, fulfilling his purpose for them. For believers today, through all that Christ accomplished on the cross, we too have a restored hope and future in him. In verse 12, I don't even think I read them yet, did I? No. I don't even know where I read to. Oh, well, I'll start with 9. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name, I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an unexpected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity and I will gather you from all nations and from the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. In verse 12, God wanted the people to know that even though they didn't have a temple to go to pray to, that he was everywhere. He would always be there to listen to him. And during this time in exile, the people needed to fully restore their relationship with God, seek him in all things, and obey him. They were not to put there to try to figure out their best plan of escape or just to serve their punishment. They were put there to serve and to show the ones that captured them that the Lord was real. They were to live normal lives, and the people would see God in everything that they did and come back to the people, both people. The Israelites would come back to him, and hopefully some of the captors would come to him too. Just as they were to grow spiritually where God had put them, so we're to grow spiritually daily in our lives. When you truly seek God, it doesn't go unnoticed by him. The more you seek him, the more you find him, and he promises us eternal life with him, never to be separated. And the more we seek him and look for him and grow spiritually, the more that shows to everybody around us. So what is our hope? If we put our trust in Christ, we can look forward at that glorious future, one day that we'll spend an eternity with him in the presence of God. God's plans for his people while on this earth doesn't involve us escaping our trials and tribulations. He doesn't make all of our suffering disappear. Instead, he gives us what we need to endure them. He helps us grow and mature spiritually, and he knows that we would not do this if we didn't go through some rough times. He helps us get through and find that joy in him, and this joy affects all of us and everybody around us. Our hope is not just something that we wish for. It's a deep sureness that God will do what he says he will do and in his time. Hope gives us our strength to endure our trials with the peace within, because we know God is in control. Our hope is fully in him. That's all I got.
Yes, yeah, so he changed here at the end and told them the importance of it. It wasn't the importance of getting out of what they were into.
Mm-mm.
The importance was growing in their relationship.
Yeah, with
God.
Yeah, and it was show to others.
So people today don't understand that either. Mm-mm. I mean, we get into stuff, we want to get out of stuff.
Yeah.
And we want God to get us out of it. So if you look back over time, you know, look at 9/11. How many years ago has that been now?
25 years.
Probably two or three weeks after the churches were full, and then they what?
Yeah, they what? Yeah.
So we serve God long enough to get
what we want.
Yeah, back on our feet, but our relationship didn't grow.
Right, right.
And so this is what God was trying to teach in this lesson. You know, I'm the one to put. I want you to know I allowed this to happen.
Yeah.
I'll get you out, but before I get you out, I want to see some.
Yeah.
Maturity and some growth and some. So.
That's why every time something happens, no matter how bad it is, you always pray, not my will, but yours be done, and, you know, he'll get you through it.
Right.
See, he wanted to make let them know, get them to understand, you can trust him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, I'm going to send you to this your land that you've never been there before. The old houses, deer, they can grow garden and everything. What would happen if they said, okay, a bunch of us just went up on Tim's property and just started building houses and creating gardens, stuff like that? What would Tim say? Go ahead. I knew what we'd get.
Or what, or what if they would have went in captivity?
When's dinner?
They may have went into captivity and just sit down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, they complained all the other time something happened.
Well, they did that when they were taken into Egypt.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to work for the Egyptians.
Yeah.
They grew to where they were in number. They were greater than the Egyptians, but because they didn't do anything, it didn't matter.
No.
Oh.
And that's